Why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You know, I don't usually entitle my Wednesday night Bible studies, but if I was going to entitle my Bible study tonight, it would be, here would be the title: What Kind of Dirt Are You? What kind of dirt are you? And you'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. But in my Bible, Mark chapter 4, the subtitle ahead of it or above it is The Parable of the Soils. Parable of the Soils. A lot of people know this story, that or the parable we're going to talk about tonight is the parable of the sower. But it really is a parable of the soils, and so hence the title, What Kind of Dirt Are You? And I was thinking on the way to church tonight, you know, it's funny how it's not funny, but it's interesting and neat how the Bible is connected. Because, you know, when God created man back in the book of Genesis, it says he took the dust of the ground and made Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. And here's a parable that Jesus told thousands of years later, where mankind is represented by dirt, by soil. And again, it shouldn't be surprising to me, because God wrote the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It amazes me how he ties it all together as our understanding of it grows the more we study it. So, Mark chapter 4, we're going to try to get through the first 20 verses tonight. Let's just go ahead and get started. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Up until this time, we've seen Jesus teaching in the synagogues. We've seen him teaching in houses in different places, and to a smaller group of people. And now in Mark chapter 4, he's out by the sea, and there's a great crowd of people, more people. And because of the crowd is pressing him, he gets into a little boat, and he has them push off from the shore a little bit. And so he uses it as a pulpit. And like it says there, there was a whole multitude that were surrounding the coast, so to speak, on the beach there. And he was speaking to them. Again, so probably a larger group of people that he'd been speaking to. In verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, and we'll go to verse 3 in just a minute. But a parable has been called a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's been called a handle to a heavenly truth, where you grab a hold of that heavenly truth. If you look at the actual meaning of the Greek word parable, it means to cast along beside. And so you're casting along beside a heavenly truth. You're casting along an earthly story to help you understand that heavenly truth and help you remember that heavenly truth. Adam mentioned a moment ago, you know, the stories about missionaries help us remember them. And so Jesus told his disciples and this crowd stories to help him, again, not only understand the heavenly truth, but to remember it. And so he tells them this story. He says, hearken, in verse 3, hearken, which means to listen, keep listening. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And the book I'm studying says perhaps that there was a sower that the people could look over into a field and see somebody sowing seed. Back in Jesus' day, there was two basic ways that they sowed seed. One of them was they had a sack of seed that they would put on a donkey, and they would cut holes on each side, and then they'd have the donkey walk and scatter the seed, sort of like a planter, so to speak. The second way was they would just broadcast the seed. The farmer would put his hand in the sack of seed and just spread it like this. And that's probably the sower that Jesus was talking about, somebody that broadcast the seed. And it came to pass, verse 4, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Back in Jesus' day, the farmers left roads in their fields. Some the roads were beside the field, some of them were through the center of the field. And that was, again, to make it easy for people to get where they wanted to go. And so these roads would be well-worn, packed down by the many travelers that traveled on that road. And so because the roads were either next to the field or through the center of the field, as the farmer would sow his seed, some of that seed would fall on that road or that wayside. And it says, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Because that wayside was hard, the seed couldn't get into the ground. And so it was easy for the birds to come and to eat it from that hard ground. At verse 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. In that part of the world, there are places where the soil is very thin and underneath is limestone. And as the sun beats down on the soil, the rock is heated up. And so when the seed gets in that dirt, because it's so warm, it grows very quickly. But as the sun comes out, because it doesn't have the root structure that can go down into the subsoil and draw moisture out, when the sun comes up, it withers away. It burns up, just like this verse says. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And so, again, some of the seed, and by the way, it's the same seed. And I want you to keep that in mind as we talk about the four different kinds of soil. It's the same seed. Some of it fell by the wayside. Again, the hard, packed down earth. Before it could get into the soil, the birds come and eat it up. Same soil into the stony ground. Again, thin layer of dirt, very warm. Grew very fast, but when the sun came up, it scorched it and it withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Again, one of the books I'm studying says that Galilean farmers were pretty lazy, and they didn't go in and clear the soil, so to speak, of other things that might be growing there. And so as these farmers would scatter their seeds, there would also be seeds of thorns or weeds in that ground. And as this verse talks about, they would grow up together. And the weeds or the thorns would choke out the good plants from the good seed, and it bore no fruit. And then in verse 8, and other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. So, four different kinds of soils. All the same kind of seeds, but four different kinds of soils. And that last soil was the good soil, where the seeds could get in, take root, grow, and produce fruit. Again, in multiple, some 30, some 60, and some 100. And you might say, well, I mean, is that possible? Sure, if you plant seed in a good soil and it takes root, it can yield. Brother Clint was telling me about all the apples that he got this year, bumper crop. And so that can happen if the soil's right. And so in verse 9, and Jesus said unto them, and again, remember, he's talking not just to his disciples now. He's talking to a large crowd that are gathered around the coast, the beach, so to speak. He's out on a little boat, and he's teaching them, talking to them about this parable. Again, everybody can understand what he's talking about. Again, maybe they could look over, and they could see somebody scattering seed. And everybody could relate because they knew the different kind of soils, and they could picture in their mind exactly what Jesus was talking about. Yeah, some on the road and no dirt for it to take seed. Some in with the thin soil. Some in with the thorns. And yeah, they could look out perhaps and even see a bountiful crop that was already growing and say, that's the good soil. That's what Jesus is talking about, a good crop. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears, we say, well, Brother Darrell, everybody has ears. But now I want you to notice it says, ears to hear. Let him hear. And we'll talk about that just in a little bit. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. So when the disciples and those few others got Jesus by themselves, said, Master, would you explain the story to us? Would you explain what you were trying to teach us in this story about the different soils? And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they might see and not perceive, and hearing they might hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. Now, that verse 12 there is a quote from Isaiah chapter 6. And you might read that verse and say, well, what is Jesus saying? And what was God saying in Isaiah? Was he saying that to some people he is going to hide the truth from? They have eyes to see, and they see, but they don't perceive. They have ears to hear, and they hear, but they don't understand. And so does God frame the message in such a way that some people will see and hear and yet will not understand it? Or is it because people have so hardened their hearts and have rejected the truth so much that even though they hear it time after time, they don't recognize it as the truth? Now, you can probably guess where I'm going to come down on that question. It's the latter. I believe that I don't believe God hides his word. I don't believe God hides his teachings from people. But I do think that if people reject the truth and they keep rejecting the truth, they harden themselves to the truth, and they get to the point that when they hear the truth, they don't recognize it, they don't understand it, they can't respond to it. And it's sort of like getting a callus on your hand. You know, when you work with your hands and you get blisters and they're sore and, you know, they hurt, they get your attention. But after you do it so long, you build up a callus and you can work with your hands and they don't hurt because they're calloused. It's the same way. If we reject the truth over and over and over and over, and you put in, and we put into our minds things that are not true, pretty soon we will not be able to discern what the truth is. And this verse from Isaiah, I think, that describes a lot of people today. They have rejected the truth time after time after time after time. And when they hear the truth now, they see it. They have eyes to see and they see it, but they can't perceive that it's truth. They have ears to hear, and they hear, but they can't understand what the truth is. And that's what Jesus was saying. I don't think he was trying to hide from the Pharisees and from the religious rulers what he was trying to teach about heaven. I mean, he's going to explain to his disciples in the verses we're going to cover in just a minute what he was talking about, but they were there. I mean, they could grab that handle of the spiritual truth. But they had hardened their hearts and hardened their minds so much that they couldn't recognize this truth. Now, let me just stop for a minute. I'll just tell you this. Be careful what you put in your minds. Be careful how much you expose yourself to things that are not true. That verse in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, along with a bunch of other things, the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things. And the more that we listen, and you say, well, I can listen to it and it won't affect me. I can listen to it and it won't cloud my mind. The more we expose ourselves to things that are not true, the more we will question what is true. And if we're not careful, we will harden our hearts to what is true. And pretty soon we will not be able to perceive what is true. And again, I could give you a lot of examples. But I won't because I don't have time and I don't want to start chasing rabbits and I want to get done. Okay, so, and he said, verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. Now, Jesus didn't identify the sower, but he was the sower in this story. And he soweth the word of God. And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. There's people that have been so hardened by the things of the world that when they hear the gospel, their heart is so hard that it doesn't take root at all. It doesn't even start. And before it has a chance, Satan comes and takes that word away. Say, are you saying, Brother Darrell, that there are people that can never get saved? Because, I believe when Jesus is talking about this kind of people, these people are not saved. Because the word can't penetrate their heart. You say, did God make them that way? No, they made themselves that way. Because they rejected the truth. And rejected the truth. And rejected the truth. Like we were talking about last week. The unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is rejecting the wooing of the Holy Spirit to come to Christ. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You reject the truth long enough, pretty soon when you hear the truth, you won't know the truth. And when the truth is sown or tried to be sown in your life, it can't get in. And Satan comes immediately and takes it away. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they are offended. Again, this is a second kind of person that I don't think truly gets saved. I mean, when they hear the gospel, they embrace it. But when persecution comes or when hardness comes, they sort of turn away from it. In other words, these are the kind of folks that, hey, I'll go along with it while it's good for me, but when it gets bad for me, I'll turn away from it. Fair-weathered, I don't want to say Christians, because I don't think they ever get saved. I don't think that the gospel ever gets to take root in their heart. They quickly embrace it, but they don't last because they never really accept Christ. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, I think these folks are folks that do get saved. Because it just talks about being unfruitful. These are Christians, these are people that get saved, that receive Christ. But because they don't get the world out of their life, the things of the world make them not produce for Christ's sake. And that's why, you know, Jesus tells us and Paul told us in a lot of the epistles that he wrote to the different churches. He said, look, the things of the world aren't going to last. Separate yourselves from them. It's like, I can't remember who the missionary that Adam quoted, but he said something like, I'd rather give my life and gain something that will last as opposed to, you know, enjoy things here that aren't going to last. Lay up your treasures in heaven. I mean, nobody can, they're not going to rust. Moth's not going to eat them. Nobody's going to steal them. And if we're not careful, Satan will fill our lives up with things that don't amount to anything and keep us from doing what God wants us to do, keep us from being fruitful. And then verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And these are folks that get saved, that receive the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. They get saved, and then they go out and tell other people about Jesus. And they bear fruit. They produce. Some 30, some 60, some 100. And again, I want you to notice, it's the same seed. It's the same seed. What makes the difference is the soil or the dirt that it's sown in. And so again, I'd ask you, just to get you thinking, what kind of dirt are you? What kind of dirt are you? Now, it goes without saying, the kind of dirt we want to be is the last kind, the fourth kind. I mean, we want the gospel to get into our lives. We want to take root deep. And then we want to be fruitful. And the way you do that is get the things of the earth out of our lives. And serve God. All right, anybody have any questions?